Dave J. If they're falsely representing it as though someone died, it's they're guilty of soul murder, which is a lot worse to me. To me, the PSYOP involved in staging this is more important than whether anybody happened to die or not. Because I don't give a fuck about whether anybody accidentally died making money.
Okay, hold on, Lynn. Let's get her revved up. Lynn's on fire already. I'm with Lynn Fire.
Lynn Ertel, all the way from Baltimore, Maryland. Hello, Lynn.
Turn it up, I can't hear it.
All right, it's up.
Turn it up. When I pick a song, it's about a subject that I'm addressing.
Fenton says Lynn for president. Are you running?
Presidents are stooges. The president is the crisis actor in chief. I'd rather be like Stalin, like Commissar, you know? I'd rather have real power, you know? Don't even take me there. You know, Brian called me up. Brian from Brian and Jenna.
All right, Biochar Brian.
Brian Jenna wanted me to mention the fact that he's got a lot of Trojan horses and stalking horses and shills in the conspiratainment world that are pushing memes directly from communitarian law. And one of these is the phrase, the intentional community. Turn it up, I can't hear it.
I heard that.
Turn it up.
I heard that.
Turn it up, I can't hear it.
I heard that.
Turn it up.
I heard that.
And I'm over-blaming groups like Catholics, Jews, Jesuits. I name the individuals who committed crimes for which they ought to be arrested and convicted and turn it up, subject to some pretty severe punishment. Things like racketeering and treason, not just fraud. I'd rather be like Stalin, like Commissar, you know? I'd rather have real power, you know? Don't even take me there.
Turn it up, I can't hear it. I heard that.
But I'm not talking about Jews, Jesuits, Catholics, black, white. I'm pointing at shills.
So who do you want to know if it was that they were
Jesuits? I don't care if they were or not. Guys, come over to Fake O2. If it's good, you're gonna find it on Fake O2.
Turn it up.
And if you don't have ads on Fake O2.
Turn it up.
No, there's no ads yet.
Right. Turn it up. I can't hear it. Guys, come over to Fake O2. Fake O2.
Hey, hello, it's the Fakeologist Show. It is Tuesday, December the 16th, 2025. Fakeologist Show here with Lynn Ertel. We're still on the Brown and Bondi shooting event. I think I got an email from someone who said North Americans pronounce it Bondi, which is wrong. It's Bondi. Somebody said that. Who said that to me? Here. This is from Andy. He said, just thought I would attach a few more pictures. And actually, one of the pictures is the one you're going to show on the video, Lynn.
Someone in the chat room is insisting that's an AI creation. It's from a video.
Well, no, yeah, that's always going to be a question.
Right.
He said, yeah, just listening to a bit of your latest show earlier, I heard you mention myself and say you don't know where I am. Oh, this is Andy. I'm in New South Wales, Australia. Also, I should point out that we pronounce Bondi like Bond Eye, not Bondi, as I hear most people in North America and or Canada pronounce it. It's amusing for us to hear Americans say Barndy. To be honest, I haven't spent much time delving into this event because I don't really need to. My initial instincts where I first heard of it were pretty correct that it was Jew bullshit. Okay, always with the Jews. Just this afternoon, I guess in this case, maybe.
Right, hey, listen, Jew bullshit. Listen, the Australian police had nothing to do with it. The Australian government had nothing to do with it. Nobody in an official capacity had anything to do with it. They're all being fooled by the Jews.
The Jews are everywhere, of course.
Yes. Jews are just fooling them. They're fooling the Pentagon.
Well, the Jews just dropped in from Israel to do the event, and they just left like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
They just came down the Australian
chimney. That's what Ole Damigard. Ole Damigard was kind of, he had, for a long time, he was saying, there's this troop of actors that goes from country to country. Like, they really need to do that. Like, they can't hire people right off the street because we live in a society full of effing whores. People who are willing to get on camera and read lines they know are lies for $50, $60, $100 because we live in a decadent society. Now, you want to blame Jews for that? Okay. It's all up to the Jews, and none of the Gentiles who make this believable. They make it credible because they could call it out, but they don't. If anything, they double down on it. But some of them are starting to speak out, and that would include Anthony Albanese or Albanese. How's it pronounced?
Yeah, I'll go with Albanese. That's pretty good.
Yeah, current Prime Minister of Australia. If we've got any Australians listening tonight, please call in. I have some questions about how the Australian public is reacting to the most recent statements by Albanese and the Australian Federal Police, who are all Jews, of course. They have stated that some of the recent anti-Semitic attacks in Australia appear to have been carried out by quote unquote paid actors or criminals for hire, potentially funded by overseas actors. Prime Minister Albanese told reporters that, quote, it would appear that some are being perpetrated by people who don't have a particular issue, aren't motivated by an ideology, but are paid actors, unquote. Oh, what a shock. What a shock. Australia is full of whores, just like America is a nation of whores. And I say to anybody out there that's arguing about the essential goodness of the human species, I say any society where it's this easy to get people to participate in something like this, a deception like this, smear some makeup, some fake blood on them, try to get them to cry on camera, that is a society that has been thoroughly and irreparably prostituted and compromised. That's the realology here. AFP Commissioner, that's the Australian Federal Police, Reese Kershaw. Kershaw, is that a Jewish name? I don't think so. Sounds Anglo-Saxon to me.
I'm sure we can make it Jewish.
Yeah, we can make it Jewish. Albanese is Italian, right? I don't know. Is he Italian Catholic? I have no idea.
Exactly.
Australian Federal Police Commissioner Reese Kershaw confirmed.
Are you reading this from somewhere? Do you want to show the screen?
It's from check it out. I asked the AI about it.
Oh, you asked the bot.
Google AI, and it came out with it. But I also went and looked at the...
You want to show your screen or no?
Sure, I'll show it.
By the way, I have a letter from... I got an email from a listener. I'd like to read it at some point. It's got some Lynn commentary as well. Yeah, you share the screen. We get letters. If you want to email me, I'm at fakeologist.com.
So yeah, this picture here is someone claiming... Is someone claiming this is CGI?
I thought you said that.
Yeah, in the chat room, someone saying, oh, the stuff that Phil was showing us about this guy who's using, hey, Arson Ostrovsky. Well, Victor Ostrovsky is the name of an author who I believe published a book by way of deception, A History of the Mossad. Let me see if I can check on that. Victor Ostrovsky. Is it spelled the same way? I mean, how many Ostrovskys could there be in the world? Yeah, here we go. Victor Ostrovsky, spelled the same way, is an Israeli-Canadian author, an intelligence officer who was a case officer for the Israeli Mossad for 14 months before his dismissal. That's Wikipedia, right? After leaving the Mossad, Ostrovsky authored two books, By Way of Deception and The Other Side of Deception. Several years later, former U.S. Congressman Paul Finley and Pete McCloskey stated, Ostrovsky's courage saved the life of former President George Herbert Walker Bush. That would be Bush Sr.
Bush
However, won. Both books were criticized by Israeli journalists and blah, 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 blah for sensation. So Victor Ostrovsky, is this guy Arson Ostrovsky related to Victor Ostrovsky? Who I think is now age 76. Maybe they're relatives. I don't know. But that picture of this guy who's, you know, the thing is, no, I don't think that's CGI at all. Let me see if it will, if they actually play.
Well, this. Well. Remember, guys, I am just a crazy conspiracy theorist. Nothing that I say should be taken literally. This is all for entertainment purposes only. However, you know this guy? Yeah, this guy, Arson Ostrovsky, that posed for a selfie after these deadly attacks on December 14th in Australia with the red flags in the background, by the way, which is very interesting. Yeah, well, this photo has been circling around the internet, and this guy also survived the October 7th attacks overseas and then happened to be also in Australia for these attacks, which he also survived. Now, the statistical probabilities of that happening to the exact same person are extremely, extremely, extremely low. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. But again, everything that I say is just crazy. It's just a conspiracy. There's nothing to see here at all, guys. But let me know what you think in the comments down below. And yeah, let's maybe stay a little bit more awake and aware of what's really going on and who the real enemies are. Peace.
So, hey. You know, I asked Google about that and they came right back with it. And, you know, it's almost like, and Max Blumenthal has a whole thread on X Twitter. Let me see if I can bring that up.
All right. This is a letter I got that's on the screen right now. I can read that while you're waiting.
Here we go.
Oh.
Max Blumenthal, who publishes The Gray Zone, he, several months ago, he said, well, among other things, we have another PSYOP going on where the FBI is now claiming that a nationally organized group called the Turtle Island Liberation Front, TILF. Turtle Island, we are told by the news, is a, I don't know, kind of an inside jargon term among leftists or, I don't know, people who regard the United States as having been stolen from the natives. That's what they say. But anyway, the FBI is claiming these TILF activists were planning to bomb sites in Los Angeles. And I
that's what Adam Curry was going on about, that Candace Owen said 2 weeks ago that there was a red alert. So is that what you're talking about?
Well, I'm just looking at Max Blumenthal here. It looks like another terror, quote unquote, terror plot manufactured by the FBI, which relied on a well-paid confidential human informant, CHI. That's a new terminology. We always used to call them CI, but now they're confidential human informants. That's interesting. Is the implication that a CI can be an artificial intelligence bot now? Therefore, you have to specify that your confidential informant is actually human. Repression of leftist protest groups. The targets here operated a recently created IG account with less than 1,000 followers. And he shows how the FBI and Department of Justice are setting these things up. But he also has a thread on the Bondi.
Oh, yeah? What's he talking
you
about?
Find his Bondi stuff. Oh, yeah, here, right here. Bondi shooting reporting is a mess. Shooters are Indian nationals, not Pakistan. Alleged shooters.
Right.
Younger shooter's mother is Italian, father is Indian, Pakistan. You know, Blumenthal is asking a question, who are the actors? And of course, that's kind of obvious that it would be.
Who is this Blumenthal? Is another Charlie Kirk type?
No, not at all. He's been around. No, he's been around forever.
Okay, I just saw a video.
I would expect you never to have heard of him because he's like Glenn Greenwald. You've probably never heard of Glenn Greenwald either, have you?
I have heard of him through
Max Blumenthal. He's pretty much in the same camp as Glenn Greenwald.
Okay.
And he's asking, who are the paid actors? And then even Jimmy Dore and Kurt Metzger, I just watched one of their videos, and they joked about this actor, Ostrowski, the guy getting his face made up.
Right.
Getting made up with fake blood. They joke about it. They ridicule the statistical likelihood that this guy had the bad luck to be at the bloody scene in Gaza as well as the Bondi massacre in Australia. He gets around. He's a world traveler. Nobody with half a brain is going to buy that. So I say this. If this is an IQ test of some kind, it seems like they are deliberately self-sabotaging the result. Why are they letting us see this stuff? And why are they making claims that are so easily discredited? To have crisis actors come out and say, oh, yeah, like, same thing at Brown University. One of them said she was at, the Saugus School. Another one claimed to have, there's a Sandy Hook. I mean, it's crazy to have crisis actors coming out and telling you, oh, yeah, this is, we had this with the Mandalay Bay, right? Some of the ones at Mandalay Bay also claimed to have been at the Pulse nightclub. So it's so ridiculous. Anybody with half a brain would say, well, that's absurd. That's statistical likely. There'd have to be these mass shootings every day in 100 different places for this to be even statistically.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Right. It is obviously ridiculous. So I say there's got to be a grander psychological agenda, a meta script somewhere in the background of this. And then Jimmy Dore and Kurt Metzger played this clip that we all love.
The Mossad is a mystery, supposedly.
Where's?
Oh, is this the part
from
the
end?
The ink, because at that time,
the 60 Minutes
are repeatedly
piece.
Killed in its.
Yeah, the 60 with Leslie
feel
Stahl.
Protected by
yeah.
Them.
And
we are the this.
And
we are
of course. Well, the quote is, let me go back. Well, let me do it. Got it. Okay. Well, let me go back. Wait a minute. Here we go. We are a global production company. The world is our stage.
Yes, yes.
And Jimmy Dore and Kurt Metzger played that. I don't know how much more you can say about this. I really don't. And, even Google AI here, authorities are looking into whether payments were made using cryptocurrencies to disguise the source of the funds, investigating whether overseas actors or individuals have paid local criminals in Australia to carry out some of these crimes. So they're still clinging to the idea that somebody's really, well, what crimes are we talking about here? They're not being specific. Do they mean the crime of actually shooting somebody at a beach party, or do they mean the crime of perpetrating a massive fraud, faking murder and faking death and faking a terrorist attack? Because that is also a crime. So anyway, it goes on and on and on.
That's pretty interesting.
Right, because of course Netanyahu came out and said that all this was happening because Australia had gone along with some other people, you know, other countries at the UN, saying that they want to recognize a Palestinian state.
Oh, I see.
And Netanyahu has made this. You know, it's the whole urge overkill thing.
Yeah. Is he really against it, though? Is this all part of a...
Come on. You know, He's got to be on the download not to realize when he came out in response to the Charlie Kirk thing and made this long interview where he says, oh, we're being accused and people are trying to say we're involved and this goes back to Nazi Germany. And anybody watching it would say, dude, you know, you're protesting too much. It's absurd. It's all absurd. And to me, once again, it's this urge overkill business. They overdo it. And they overdo it to such an extent that now we actually have an AI package, a military AI tool for identifying probable psyops. I'll share this.
Okay.
Right, and this Jimmy Dore's most recent thing, he used this tool to ask about the Charlie Kirk event. Exposed, military intelligence tool reveals truth about Erica Kirk's anger, overwhelming signs of a psyop, which is to say 80% out of 100 likelihood it's a psyop. Now, I know everybody's going to say, well, yeah, when they say PSYOP, they mean a false flag. They mean people are really being killed. I'll say again, I don't give a flying rat's ass whether anyone is really killed in these things or not. I really don't. And I don't think most people care. They're not on the scene. They don't know anybody. It's not like a relative or
well,
a friend.
Well, it doesn't add depth if people are killed. That's the whole point, really.
No, to me, you know, something...
Do you think people are going to pay more attention when they think people die?
I don't think it matters because it doesn't matter. It's being reported as a news story. Who knows? Okay. If all news is fake, why would anybody care if somebody accidentally died of a heart attack during one of these things? You know, everyone wants to make that the issue.
A heart attack's different from being shot in the head.
More and more and more, it's irrelevant. It might have been relevant in the beginning, when we were trying to figure out how do they do these things. And at Sandy Hook, it was important to say nobody died, nobody cried. But now it really doesn't matter as much.
Hey, Lynn, Dookie Foot joined the studio. Dookie Foot, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to be kind of short. I think it's important to not get the pictures and stuff mixed up as real. That's an obvious AI picture that was in that fake Nukesville video.
Fake Nukesville was suckered by AI?
No, I don't think he was. I don't know why he shared that, because it's pretty obvious.
Is that the one?
It's pretty obvious in his comment section that he knows it's AI.
Where he's getting the guy's getting made up. That's particular.
Yeah. And which could easily be created with one of these AI programs if you just plug in a couple of his other pictures. And just prompt it to say, hey, he's got a smile on his face, and so does the person putting the makeup on. Look, all you got to do is zoom into the van, and it's completely, that's not what vehicles look like. But so I think it's important not to just assume that the shit's real. But obviously the whole thing was a stage. But
Dookie, are you talking about this video?
What about that one? He speaks in that one.
Yeah. Okay, no, that's real. No, the one where
How do we know that one's real?
I lived in this for the last time.
I'm talking about the still.
I know what you're talking about, but how do we know any of this video material is real?
It may or may not be, but I'm saying that one particular still video is definitely not real.
Well, okay? even this video, there's no way. I don't know if we can prove that this guy isn't in front of a screen. You know, what we talk about the LED surround screens now that movies are done on. So he could be standing in front of the screen, which has this background on it. We know that this is a possibility.
You know, that's old technology. And I'm not saying any of it's real. I'm just saying that it's important not to just assume that this one picture is legit. Nah, all of it.
Not to assume that
why is everyone standing around? Just look at this picture, this video here. Why are these people on their phone just leaning against this railing? Is this a crime scene? What's going on? I thought people were running off the beach. Who are these people?
Look, the gayest thing that I saw in that whole video was where the guy tackled the dude and took his gun out of his hand. And then the guy just casually walks away. Look, if I'm walking around with a gun and someone takes it from me, I'm hauling ass out of there so I don't get shot with my own weapon. I don't give a damn. Like, I'm out of there. I'm not just going to stroll off like I'm fucking
get out of here. The whole thing is just BS.
But hey, I got to go.
All we're doing is piling on one thing.
Thank you, Dookie. That's Dookie Foot.
Yeah, it's one thing after another. The statistical impossibility that these people could be claiming, oh, yeah, I was at the October 7th Gaza event, but I'm also...
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Nobody with any common sense is going to buy that. And the AI realizes that. So they've got this tool that I'm showing online called the NCI Engineered Reality Scoring System, version 8.3.
And by the way, the military, the army invented PSYOP. So why do they have a tool for, who's the tool?
Well,
for
actually,
themselves?
They say it comes, NCI stands for National Cancer Institute.
Okay.
So this may have started as an AI product developed by the National Cancer Institute and then was taken over by the military or vice versa. Who knows?
But aren't PSYOPs military operations?
Developed by behavioral expert and former military intelligence specialist Chase Hughes. Name sounds familiar.
Oh, right. That's the guy on YouTube.
Yeah, right.
You know that
the
guy.
The NCI system is a rigorous 20-category analytical tool designed to identify potential psychological operations in public narratives. It assesses elements such as timing, emotional manipulation, suppression of dissent, missing critical information, that's sort of a fake nukes fill thing, tribal division, well, that's, you know, Jews against Muslims, Jews against Christians, Muslims against Christians, framing techniques, and other indicators of engineered influence. Each category is scored from 1 to 5, with total scores interpreted as follows. And they go through it here, particularly high. When they went through, they showed it a video of Erica Kirk. I might have that here. Let's see if I can find it. And they identify, this is probably a PSYOP just from Erica Kirk's performance. Yeah, right here. New analysis of the widely circulated Fox News interview with Erica Kirk, in which she firmly dismissed speculation and conspiracy theories about her husband's death, has revealed significant concerns regarding the narrative surrounding Charlie Kirk's assassination. The interview was evaluated using the NCI Engineered Reality Scoring System. Well, I have always maintained, or at least since maybe the early 2000s, a little later than that, I have always maintained that the behavior and demeanor of the Kennedy family and their friends, and especially Robert F. Kennedy Sr., in the aftermath of the JFK event in Dallas, one can easily make the same argument. Their blind acceptance of the magic bullet, the lone nut, the second lone nut, Jack Ruby, killing the first lone nut, the Warren Commission being full of omissions and lies and distortions. If anybody in the Kennedy family were sincere about investigating the assassination of our 35th president, if anybody were even sincere about that, they would be saying, hey, we want these questions answered. So I'm saying here the same exact criteria that can be used in evaluating the likelihood of a PSYOP as a consequence of watching Erica Kirk's really poor performances, and I mean really bad performances.
Over the top.
The same exact logic can be applied
to
the Kennedy family with respect to the JFK hit. If they were sincere, they would have been saying, we don't accept this official narrative. We want a real investigation. We reject the patently absurd claims made, like that magic bullet that we're told penetrated his neck and then went through Governor Connolly's wrist. And then they're saying one of these bullets rolled out on a stretcher at Parkland Hospital on the day of the assassination. The elevated score does not conclusively prove intentional deception or a cover-up, but it strongly indicates that the presentation may have been carefully engineered, potentially to deflect legitimate questions, protect institutional interests, and consolidate narrative control following the tragedy. Critical thinking remains essential. Healthy skepticism and demand for transparency are not betrayal. They are the foundation of truth-seeking. And Max Blumenthal has a whole... Oh, here it is. Here's the one that the NCI tool flags as indicative of a psyop.
And the townspeople are at the... Reminds me so much of chapter 6 in the book of Nehemiah. He is building a wall, and the townspeople are at the base of that hill saying, Nehemiah, calling him all these names, saying all these things, come on down. Every single time he had the same message four times.
Yeah, just for all you Bible thumpers out there, that's what she's doing here. She's thumping the Bible from the book of Nehemiah. You can always count on them to thump the Bible for psyops.
Times in a row, I cannot come down. I am busy building.
It's to get their attention, obviously.
I do not have time.
No, because the Bible lends itself.
My silence does not mean that I am complacent.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
My silence does not mean that somehow Turning Point USA and all of the handpicked staff that loved my husband and my husband loved them is somehow in on it. We are busy building. And you know what I thought? I thought these people are human. We are all grieving in our own way. And they are trying to find the answer to something that happened that was so evil. They are trying so hard. And I get that. We're doing the same. Anytime we hear a lead or anytime we hear anything, we send it to the authorities. Please dig into this. No rock will be unturned. I want justice for my husband, for myself, for my family, more than anyone else out there. So for me, you want to keep telling me to come down while we're building? I don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. But here's my breaking point on that. Come after me. Call me names. I don't care. Call me what you want. Go down that rabbit hole. Whatever. But when you
rabbit
go after
hole.
My family, my Turning
words.
Point USA family, my Charlie Kirk Show family, when you go after the people that I love and you're making hundreds and thousands of dollars every single episode going after the people that I love because somehow they're in on this. No.
You know, I have to say it. I've never seen you like this.
No, this is righteous anger because this is not okay. It's not healthy. This is a mind virus. Yes, I believe in our judicial
system. That's Tim Osmond's term.
Judicial system. I do. We have a hell of a team.
So what's she complaining about again?
But this is not okay.
The people are questioning the official narrative that this lone nut Tyler Robinson, which she believed. See, that's the whole thing. They're saying, oh, yeah, Tyler Robinson. We've got him. We've got him. We got the assassin.
Oh,
yeah, and
I
Megyn
see, I see.
Kelly even goes on the air saying, oh, I know he. I can't. She's an attorney. You know, this is where you see the world turned upside down. A lawyer, any lawyer, will always say first, well, this is the United States. We have due process, trial by jury, and the presumption of innocence. A cornerstone of the American system is you're innocent until proven guilty, and the burden of proving guilt in a criminal case is on the prosecution. Then, if the lawyer wants to say, well, I think the evidence they have against this individual is pretty strong, they could say that. But that's not what Megyn Kelly did. Have you watched that? She says, I know Tyler Robinson did this, and I want to see him die. I want to see him suffer. If I could pull the switch. Yeah, that's a lawyer talking. Well, or maybe a... Well, she does have a law degree. She has a law license. So all of the behavior in this is so... It's so out of whack. None of it makes any sense. And of course... one thing I noticed was, with respect to the Charlie Kirk event, would anybody in Canada care about that?
Absolutely
well,
not.
Why on September 10th did the Canadian Broadcasting System publish a headline piece?
The Canadian Broadcast System isn't Canadians, but I know what you're
right,
saying.
Right, but look at this. Let me see if it will take me there. Here we go. Viral posts claim Charlie Kirk shooting was a hoax. We debunk them. Oh, post.
Well, they. Yeah, that's interesting. So they always are going to get the conspiracy theories and the official conspiracy theories.
Well,
that's not bad.
Can you see this now? They're
yeah.
Claim Kirk was wearing a squib. Well, we're the ones who made that claim.
Yeah, right. That's good.
And they go after it. Boy, do they go after it. See, they go, hey, look at that. We got to debunk that. And the whole thing is, I'm going through this saying, this was published on September the 11th, and Kirk was shot allegedly on September 10th.
Wow, that was fast.
So they didn't waste any time.
Well, that's because I think they seeded the acceptable conspiracy theory.
But why? See, why the Canadian Broadcasting Company? I mean, come on. They wouldn't care that much about this. And I went and started.
It's Five Eyes. This is all from London.
Right. And I went and I looked at the author of this. His name is Eric Zito, a journalist.
Visual Investigation Unit.
Yeah, right.
I love it. We're in the Visual Investigations Unit.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we are. Yeah. Yeah, and then I get it, you know,
what is
the CBC and who is the author of this hack job? Here's a whole back. Yeah. Now, this guy could be an AI creation too, although
absolutely.
Looks like he has a resume as a documentary filmmaker. So he's probably a real human.
Probably a human.
Yeah, but look how they deployed him the day after. They were on, it just astounded me to think. That here we were saying, well, from almost the very first day, we said it looks like a squib, one of those movie blood squibs where they fake it. And almost immediately, the Canadian Broadcasting Company deploys this guy to debunk that specific claim.
Well, they got to catch the narrative fast before people start. So as long as the CBC is on the case, people can ignore it. I think is the answer.
Well, for me, it indicates the monolithic global character of these psyops. Because let me ask
the British Empire anyway.
I asked the question: why would Canadians even care about this story? Why would any Canadian care that much?
We care about whatever the British Empire cares about. We're the original loyalists. You know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Company?
The British Broadcasting Corporation with CBC is their franchise.
So, you know, they've really hit us within the last couple. For you know, you had the background of the Charlie Kirk thing.
This has been a busy last couple of weeks.
Yes, and you get both.
And Tim Osmond took the week off or the rest of the year off.
The
crazy.
Brown University incident.
Yeah, Derek is supposed to be calling in tonight.
You get the Bondi incident. You get the alleged shooting, killing of a couple U.S. soldiers in Syria by ISIS. Syria,
yeah, that was
government.
I didn't really hear about that except on this.
Yeah, Syria,
show.
Who the media tells us their new government is headed by former Al Qaeda leader Al-Sharaa.
Right.
His name is
Forda. Yeah, terrorist turned freedom fighter overnight.
Yeah, at the White House and shook hands with Trump. And
we reclassified
him. Yeah, he got reassigned to another PSYOP. But I guess Al-Qaeda and ISIS are supposed to be at war with each other? Is that what they expect us to believe?
Yeah, it's an internal rift.
Yeah, so there's that, you know, and then, of course, there's a continuing alleged bombing of these speedboats and the seizure of... an oil tanker, which is the whole Venezuela. See, it's just too much. It's too much all at once. And people are going to be looking around saying, well, they're lying here, they're lying there. They insult my intelligence here, they insult my intelligence there. How do I know any of this is real? And I contend we're really going to have to be working hard to stay ahead of the curve on this stuff, because most people are catching on. A lot, anybody with an ounce of common sense is already catching on to the artificial character of these events, above and beyond whether anybody's actually being killed. There is no doubt that thousands, maybe millions of people out there suspect these events are staged and see intelligence agencies behind the events, but they still think that somebody's getting killed, or maybe that these trials are real. What I'm seeing a lot is this idea that Tyler Robinson is being railroaded. And
forget Tyler Robinson. We've got the Rob Reiner trial. That's going to be big.
Well, you know, that's one that I haven't jumped to any conclusion about. Because, you know why that seems unlikely to me?
What's unlikely? It's real or fake? Hold on, Kirk.
Fake. It seems unlikely that it's real, because I don't think, you know, it's a big deal to stab your mother and father. It's not the same thing as shooting somebody.
No, it's personal.
Stabbing is a, you know, it'd be difficult to, you know. That's the only thing that makes me suspicious of this. If they'd have reported that Reiner and his wife were shot, I might be more inclined to say, well, yeah, you know, I could see that happening. But,
well, if the guy was a mental case, yeah.
Yeah, if the guy was a mental case. And let me tell you how we would approach this thing if people like us were running the world. Well, first of all, we'd abolish the FBI, disband it, defund it, do whatever needs to be done to get rid of it. And then we'd set up our own death-faking investigation unit. A huge investigation unit to uncover death-faking as criminal fraud and racketeering. And what would such an investigative unit, what would be one of its basic assumptions? What would be one of its basic methodologies? Well, the first thing they would look at is the money. The, you know, money's always the easiest motive in crimes. And would be asking the question, is this person who we think, who their indicators fake their death, what would be the motive for them doing that? Is there a financial motive? So, for example, I came across all kinds of pieces on Turning Point USA in financial trouble just before the event, the staged fake assassination.
Stealing money.
Right. Or maybe, you know, you look at Sandy Hook and you see that Peter Lanza, the father, the alleged perp, worked for GE Financial and was scheduled to be a witness during the LIBOR trials for rigging interest rates. In other words, you know, or you look at Ken Lay's alleged suicide after the Enron scandal. I mean, there's every motive in the world for that guy to fake his death. He would have done a hard time. So, yeah, if you want to avoid a prison sentence, if you're financially destitute, if you're bankrupt and you want to have all your debts written off. So that would be, if I were looking at Reiner, Rob Reiner and his wife, I'd say, what was their financial situation? You know, that's the first thing any real, honest detective would do, is say, what would have been the motive for this person to fake their death? Is it financial? Are they being blackmailed? Are they being used by someone else? But that's the first thing I'd look at, is the money. Of course, you're not going to see the media investigate that. Because, for example, Robin Williams, who allegedly committed suicide, for like years, he was complaining that his marriage, his divorces, his failed marriages had bankrupted him.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. He was saying, I don't have any money left. I'm in debt. And he was truly depressed about it. And he started making mediocre movies. That's why a lot of these people never get to retire.
Interesting. Hold on, Lynn. We got a caller in. Our caller in. Where are you calling from? What's your name?
My name's Kevin, and I'm calling from Missouri.
Kevin from Missouri. Hello, Kevin.
What's up?
Not much. What did we miss?
You want to know what you missed?
Yeah, what did we miss?
Michelle Obama last night was on Jimmy Kimmel saying that she was supposed to, her and Barack were supposed to meet with the Reiners the night of their death.
Oh, I heard that. They were all going to have dinner together. Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Insert character here.
Right. Yeah, of course.
That's funny.
That's a script.
I think you guys would like that.
That is funny.
That was the only thing I just wanted to call and tell you. Yeah, they're adding another character to the soap opera.
Did they they tweet that in their Barack? Where does Barack put out his messages these days, or Barry? Does he put it on X?
No, it's all on X. She was on Jimmy Kimmel last night saying that, yeah, me and Barack were supposed to have dinner with him the night they got killed.
You think anybody's going to really be paying much attention to that? It's another one of these pissed on breadcrumbs down the rabbit hole, right? Because, you know.
That is correct.
It's why tell us, you know.
Like you said,
yeah.
They had to add somebody.
So, you know, without getting too much into the Reiner deaths, if they're really deaths or not, that's not so hard to imagine that this drug-crazed asshole son of theirs could have flipped out. But like I say, when they said he stabbed them to death, that my fraud, my fake death.
Your fake deathometer is.
Yeah, my own AI, my own internal AI says,
Lynn AI. Hey, Kevin, thanks for calling. We got a couple more callers popping.
She's talking about the stabbing thing. Yeah, it don't make sense. I could see maybe killing them in their sleep, but they said that they were all arguing. And then I've heard that their throats were slit. So how did he slit both of them? Yeah, that's all I was going to say.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's got one big knife. Thank you. One big knife.
It's one thing to pop off, you know, to cap some people.
Hold on, 58 seconds.
Caller in, or where are you calling from? What's your name?
Yeah, it's Rick in Arizona.
Rick in Arizona. What do you think of all this stuff? A lot of new stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Erica Kirk has a lot of ties to Arizona.
Yeah, Erica Kirk.
First of all, I will make a quick comment about Erica Kirk. I mean, there's a lot of explaining to do, like, why did the guy take the SD card out of the camera? There's a lot of reasons to.
Why did they clean up the crime scene and pave it over? Of course. Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of questions. Okay. And as far as Rob Reiner goes, yeah, I think he's dead as a doornail. The question is the kid really the perpetrator here?
Yeah.
They said there was a, you know, an argument at a party. Well, now they got all the opportunity to frame this kid for a murder. A guy like Rob Reiner knows a lot. And it's kind of peculiar that these killings in Hollywood always, you know, are involved with knives like Tate LaBianca, OJ, and now Rob Reiner. The modus operandi. I think the killers of Hollywood killed Rob Reiner and OJ's wife and Tate.
Yeah.
I think these people are dangerous to the system as they get old. And Rob Reiner knows a lot of shit.
You think the OJ case is real?
I think OJ Simpson did not kill his wife. And I think he was railroaded on it. I think they wanted to shut him down.
So you think wife really was killed?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nicole Brown Simpson. Many people think is Megyn Kelly.
No, it's a composite of Denise Brown.
Well, let me throw another breadcrumb in there.
Doesn't exist.
Elwin Benjamin had a theory. I hate to quote him.
Oh, yeah.
OJ has a son who is constantly in trouble with the police. He had drug issues, and I think he got in a knife fight with somebody, but he had a reputation for outbursts of violence. And Elwin Benjamin theorized, and there had been arguments between him and Ron Goldman, we are told. So Owen Benjamin's theory was that, and it is convoluted, I admit, is that OJ's son, in a fit of rage, knifed them. And then OJ had stepped in to take the rap because he didn't want to see his son tried for it. And
OJ could get a dozen women like Nicole Brown. You know, he'd been going over to the house. He's already rattled their cage. There's already police reports against him. And then he goes over there and cuts them up. If you saw the original crime scene photos, those heads were decapitated. Okay. So I'm just saying is there's a common denominator here with these Hollywood murders, and it's a knife. And the one thing about it is you cannot they don't use guns because guns can be traced. And so using a knife is one way to get away with the crime.
All right.
Use a gun, it can be traced. So I think this is a professional hit. It's very possible this is a professional hit. And this
I suspected when the story first broke and they went through the Bronco, the chasing that Bronco and everything, I thought to myself, well, OJ would never have done this himself. He would have hired dirty cops or somebody to do it for him, and maybe they decided to take the money and pin it on him. I was thinking about different ways that this could have happened without OJ himself actually doing it, because it didn't make much sense. But then they really piled on with all the 911 calls that Nicole made to the police. They had recordings.
Total fakery.
Of Nicole's 911 over domestic abuse. Violent fights at the house. So,
okay, Rick.
But you say
Rick,
that
thank you for calling. Got another caller in her.
Yeah.
Thank you. Rick believes in OJ, not me. Caller in her, where are you calling from and what's your name?
Hey, Fakeologist. Hey, Lynn. It's Jay from Texas. Hey.
Jay from Texas. Hello.
Hey, man.
Jay, you got some fan mail. I'm going to try and read it before I close the show.
Okay. Thank you.
Unless you wrote it.
No, I don't hear
it's from a naughty mouse.
Hey, Jay, you don't live in Jasmine Crockett's district, do you?
No,
I live further south. I don't live around the Dallas area. Okay. Way south. Close. Yeah. Yeah, but Lynn, you could tell, like, what do you think about them doing all this? Like I told you last week about, like, the movie The Siege, 1990s. You were talking about the Rob Reiner situation, how, like, that was more personal, because they were saying he was an addict, and then you can tie that in with the boat things. And I don't know if you heard, but they were saying, like, Venezuela is helping Hamas, and then you can see, like,
the president has declared fentanyl to be a weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Oh my God. Yeah, it's all working up to them.
Well, tell that to the cancer patients who depend on fentanyl to relieve their pain.
Yeah, it's all working up to that movie, it looks like, because in Australia they tried to say that guy was part of ISIS. And
is that what they're saying now? The Bondi event?
That's what they
said. You know, it's a funny thing about that.
Yeah.
When I went to post this piece on the Bondi Maw event, and let me go back to sharing that again. I wanted to see has anybody posted anything on this yet? And so I did a search. And what came up was the Bondi Maw stabbing rampage. I'd forgotten all about that.
Yeah, Bondi, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there was
I found that by accident too. Yeah, the other day.
Yeah, right here. Here's a Strange Bird. We got a correspondent here named Strange Bird.
He's from Australia, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, he says I actually follow, and there was this event at a shopping mall, I guess, and they were all stabbed, right? So Australians, in this case, they had a stabbing. He says we also ain't real good at this. For example, why would they let this creature talk for so long? And they got a hero who saved everybody's life, so much blood. You know,
amid this violent attack, what we have seen, the silver lining, is these acts of heroism and bravery and people helping each other and working together.
Yeah, do people want to have it? It's like, when did this happen? So Bondi, is that how we say it?
Bondi. Yeah, that's right. You got it right.
I guess is he says Bondi is probably our most famous beach.
Right.
And the guy who saved people from being stabbed is a hero lifeguard. It's a whole script, you know?
Wouldn't expect it any other way. He just jumped off the chair.
Yeah.
Isn't there a lifeguard TV show about Bondi Beach?
Oh, I actually, this is strange, but I heard somebody say that there's a cat. They actually want to award H-1B visas to immigrants to come here to be lifeguards because they're claiming there's a shortage of lifeguards. It might have been
in
California or somewhere where they claim that.
But that's what that movie's about, right? They say that there's immigrants in New York City and they're looking for 20 of them.
Yeah, right.
On the whole city.
Yeah, they got Bruce Willis as his general.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, he's saying, don't make me declare martial law. Once we do that, a whole can of worms will open up. And sure enough, they declare martial law. And there's this one scene where the general, played by Bruce Willis, he comes out, he's wearing his uniform, but his sleeves are rolled up and he's washing his hands because he's just finished interrogating a prisoner, you know. So they rationalize the use of torture and that. They have Denzel Washington playing the intrepid FBI agent, you know. He does a great stunt in that movie, in the beginning of the movie, where he does a judo roll that I like. Shoulder
roll. Read an email that came in, guys. So while you're on the air there, Jay, so you can listen in if you want. And yeah, then we're going to wrap it up because we're up against an hour. So all our email here, and sometimes we read on the air. I don't know if you can see that. Hey, Tim, still That's love cool. the show. Since I'm not a chatter, YouTuber, or a live listener, sometimes I hear a show as soon as it's posted. Sometimes, like now, I'm weeks behind. Here are some things which I want to get off my chest. Okay, we're going to read on. We'll go right to the end and read it backwards because it says, on Jay from Texas, another great caller. Love him. You don't give him the respect he deserves. I think I gave you a lot of time, though. For instance, you never say to John the Beggar that he calls too much and needs to have his own show. I have said that, actually. I thought John the Beggar should have his own show as well. When you say that about him, you are just subtly insulting him. If not, then give him a spot on the show. I would love to hear him more. He again brings more facts and points of discussion than he takes away. He may derail the topic a little, but the topic he tries to introduce is just as valid and on track as any other talked about at the moment. What do you think of that, Jay?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
I only try and keep some of the calls a little shorter because it's only a 1 hour show. And I get as much love and hate on just about everyone. So I try and keep it even.
I'm just glad you let me call and talk. You know, it's good to have information out there and be able to discuss it. You know, it's an awesome show.
All right. I appreciate that. Well, I really do like the idea of a talk show where people call in. I wish more people would call in, but every talk show has its regulars. That's just how they work. It's always been.
Have you looked at the Google homepage? I'm looking right now. 3 hours ago, MIT professor shot, killed at his home in Boston. And
what's the Google homepage? I've got the Google search page. Is that?
Yeah,
Google
I guess News? That'd be what I'm talking. Google. I guess Google.com. Just
wait. You got Google News. News.com.
Headline news. I guess.
Wow. I'm telling you, it looks like they're trying to ramp it up. That's what it looks like.
What a bad time for Tim Osmond to take off. I got the Venezuela oil tanker on the front page of Google News. Rob Reiner murder charges or Rob Reiner's son, Nick.
Turtle Island Liberation Front planning to bomb sites in Los Angeles.
I don't have the Boston. Let me just look up Boston. President.
The Syrian president was a terrorist. I mean, I don't know if
his name was Nuno F.G. Lurerio, 47. Yeah.
Okay, I got that. I got that on the Boston page when I searched for Boston. I don't think this is getting outside of Boston.
Boston.
In lighter news, though, Roger Williams Park Zoo is offering free admission to all the Brown University community in light of recent tragedy.
What?
You're chipping in. The zoo is offering free admission.
Zoo.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
Christmas.
Yep. So and there's
four very well that are outdoors in the northern states in the winter. I don't think most people are wandering around looking at the lions.
Did you see that page? I don't know. I sent it earlier about the incompetence of the FBI and the police in Providence. And now I'm reading here, former NYPD leader sees friction between FBI, Providence police over person of interest in Brown shooting.
Well, that's because you guys need a fusion center.
We had the guy last night from Rhode Island said that there's like how many cameras on the Brown?
Hey, that's 800. That's Derek. That's me. Derek.
I mean, there's so many cameras.
It's unreal.
It's ridiculous.
I think that means
there's one camera for every 9 students, right?
That was 10 years ago.
Yep.
So they picked up a person of interest and then had to let him go.
Yep.
So what are they saying? They're saying this shooter's still on the loose because I heard.
Yeah, apparently.
They canceled.
Wait. They say that this this guy, that MIT professor, may be linked to the Brown University shooting.
It's got to be ISIS, maybe, huh?
Oh, here we go. Yep. They're not going to catch the shooter. They're just going to keep it going, keep people worried and in fear. They're never going to catch anybody because no one did it. So that's, I think that's where it's just going to fizzle out. And then
a ghost.
Well, it's going to keep on happening. They have their own nation now of gunmen like that, because that Syrian president ISIS, I don't know if you know this, Lane, or anything, but they don't, he's the actual, like, I don't know if you remember the Daniel Pearl incident. They said, like,
yeah, I remember that.
He was the main guy either in the room or one of the guys behind the thing.
When they cut off Daniel Pearl's head,
he was like the original person.
So
there's your original figure that leads back to the original thing that we all talk about.
They're recycling. Think about this. The new government of Syria, installed by NATO, is a recycled crisis actor from the global war on terror. And they openly say, oh, this is a former Al-Qaeda commander.
And it's funny because apparently they're all saying that Trump is telling Israel not to bomb them, and Trump loves the new person from Syria. This is all just wild. Yeah. It's really wild.
Let me finish reading this letter and then we're going to have to wrap it up. Okay, on John the Beggar. Love him and his insight. Always a great caller and always adds something to the show without taking something away. However, on the mud flood theory, which I think is a valid theory, which has some merit, he cannot possibly believe that it is possible to build a city on top of fecal matter. Fecal matter decomposes, whereas stone, marble, petrified bone, and wood will provide an adequate foundation for city building. Okay, this guy's a city planner, apparently. It's just not possible to build on fecal matter when you think about it. Plus, the amount of fecal matter necessary to raise street levels would also kill off the population. And who is going to build on shit? I want to postulate this. We shouldn't call it mud flood as if it was... if it were separate from the biblical deluge. More than likely, it was the same event. Okay, that's really, that's far out. Okay, on Jim Rizzoli. Jim is also one you like to rile up. He has a niche and people like what he does. He too only uses logic and critical thinking as far as is convenient. Too much belief in everything being fake could cause World War II to go away. So he has a limit when thinking everything is fake. But his argument about Phil's duplicity is valid, and he should be heard without interruption until his point is made. And aside, most of your guests swear it makes good radio. What do you guys think of that?
That was a very nice
email. Wait, it's not done yet. What do you think of John on Jim?
He has to. He has to keep. I mean, it's good to have passion about what you're talking about, or else you won't be taken really seriously.
I only call Jim out on swearing because he's such a pure person. He's a Bible believer. That's all. That's the only reason I bug him about it. I don't really care about swearing too much.
Well, Erica Kirk is a Bible believer too.
Well, she is for the TV. Okay, here on Lynn. Wait, I'll do Phil first. On Phil, Phil is my least favorite guest. His research on Gaza nukes and film footage in general is mildly interesting. His logic and arguments are mostly just childish assertions without any critical analysis. This is easily spotted when he is put on the spot with direct questions. Rather than just assert facts or admit his opinion has no facts, he obfuscates and changes the subject to avoid answering the direct question. As with Jim confronting him, then you come to his aid and conjecture for him with a mix of obfuscation and misdirection. It's annoying as you and he do this every time he is caught in a lie. Well, it is his show. He's the co-host. He is your friend, so I get it. We're not friends. We're just acquaintances on the radio. We're
all collaborators.
We're collaborators. We're not friends. Yeah. We're not friends in that sense. Okay, he is your friend, so I get it. But he is a liar. The only question is, does he do it on purpose? His position on vaccines reveals is his hypocrisy. I don't think so. His position on that is in direct contradiction with your position. Nobody has to agree with me. He thinks you are crazy and out of your mind. I don't think he's ever said that. But how he accuses his longtime friends and supporters of lying without any proof whatsoever regarding possible imprisonment shows his duplicity as he clings to the idea of being a maverick fakeologist as justification. Because he can't or won't apologize shows he is a coward. Remember, he has the same lack of proof for all his claims as a fake nukes guy. Real men should be able to admit when they are wrong and apologize when they have offended, especially when it comes to friends. Okay, that's a lot. He really...
Look, guys, we're not running a social club here.
No.
And I really don't give a flying rat's ass if people were offended or their feelings are hurt. What I will insist on is valid logical argumentation. If someone comes into BitChute and watches one of Phil's videos and then comes back and criticizes it, whether their criticism is valid or not, it's not a real good idea for Phil to respond by saying, you must be a Jew. That's called argument ad hominem.
I agree with that. Right?
And that's the biggest weakness I find with Phil.
Mm-hmm.
I pointed out, for example, that the brains of the Confederacy, Judah P. Benjamin, who fled the country after the end of the Civil War and went back to England, where I think he had originally been born, was called the brains of the Confederacy. And for a long time, American Jews are very proud of the fact that Judah P. Benjamin, related to the Rothschilds, was probably the most important man in the Confederacy after Jefferson Davis. And when I pointed that out, Phil came back and said, well, really, the plantation owners were controlled by Northern Yankees. And that's, I think, what this guy here is bad argumentation. Phil has a weakness for making weak arguments. And on those grounds, I think people are perfectly justified in criticizing Phil or attacking some of the assumptions that he makes.
Yeah.
But ad hominem argumentation is utterly worthless.
I look at Phil as an opinion piece. He's got opinions and we just entertain them. That's all.
Yeah. I think some of his arguments are valid. For example, the litmus test argument with respect to Holocaust or Hola hoax, correctionism.
Yeah.
We call it revisionism, correctionism. If I see someone out there in the mainstream or whatever,
34 seconds
of Holocaust revisionism, and they don't have a clue about 9/11, but they have an ignorant opinion about 9/11. I'm not going to take what they have to say about the whole hoax very seriously.
Yeah, and that's what I agree with that. I agree with what you just said with Judy Wood and Jim. They're having a long time affair. He can't shake the Judy Wood. She's a real cutie in his life, I tell you.
Jim is very easily manipulated. That's what's going on with him. He's very easily manipulated. And also, he has no sense of proportion at all. Phil or somebody posted a video of TSA agents at the airport basically feeling up a baby.
Right.
And what are they looking for? Are they looking for explosives?
They're looking for an exploding rattle.
Yeah, this is what we need to talk about. We need to talk about that stuff. The TSA never used to be around in the 90s. Now they want to put them on everywhere.
Well, that's 9/11.
That was the whole point of 9/11 and Homeland Security.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I had to, you know, Jim said, well, don't you think that people really did smuggle drugs in the baby's diaper? Well, they might have, but it's statistically insignificant, Jim.
Yeah. Most of the drugs come in the false floors of tractor trailers.
Right, exactly. So it's a waste of time.
And, what are you going to get, a dime bag out of a diaper?
Yeah, exactly. Let's bust some people for carrying, you know. But, you know, it was back
there,
in
though, That's even if it's there.
Hold on. We got another caller in or on the line. Caller, where are you calling from? What's your name?
What are you going to do? Get a dime bag out of a diaper?
Yeah, that's a quote. That's a quote. Do you like that one, Susie?
So good.
Thank you.
On the fly. Jim Rizzoli seems to think it matters, you know, and it's legitimate for the TSA to be feeling up babies looking for drugs. I came back and said, you know, if they were looking for diamonds, smuggling diamonds or uranium, that might be legitimate, but not looking for drugs.
As long as they change the diaper while they're doing it. Hey, Susie, what's going on?
They got drug sniffing dogs for that.
Yeah, but can they get past the baby
Lynn.
Poop?
I never called in on the Lynn Ertel show. So hello, Lynn, Garrett, hey. Jay, everybody. So
big lineup.
Hey, Susie.
Hey, dude. So I was just listening a little bit ago, and I had to look up the year when Carol O'Connor died, and maybe recently in the last few shows, maybe his death was sus, you know. So
well, he was an older man, though.
He was another one whose son had a drug problem.
Yes,
did his son
I remember
also
that.
Commit suicide or something, or?
Yeah, that was a bad situation. I remember that.
I really resented Carol O'Connor because I hated All in the Family.
I thought it was pure propaganda.
It was pure anti working class propaganda. Because Archie Bunker was supposed to be this blue collar guy who is really dumb and reactionary, and every week they just pile on with that crap. And I got kind of sick of it after a while, and I saw it was nothing but anti-working class propaganda, but everybody loved it. Everybody loved the show. Well,
I agree with you. I mean, most people didn't see the propaganda angle. I'll agree with that. Yeah.
It's a good insight to how the CIA did destroy the working class in those major cities, though.
Oh, yeah, especially in the unions. Sure.
But, Susie, what were you saying? So,
it's neither here nor there. We do have the All in the Family box set, and there's no way that they would show a lot of those on MeTV. I don't know.
Today, these days, you mean? Yeah,
sure, it's racist. No, it's awful.
There's no way. Anyhow, I know you guys are talking about Robin Williams, so I don't really want to get off topic, or if there is a topic.
No, we're just reading.
You will concede he was in financial difficulty because of his divorces, alimony payments, right? He said the alimony payments had bankrupted him. So he would have had a motive to fake his death, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, the only real crazy celebrity death that actually bothers me is Anthony Bourdain. And I'm just wondering if anyone has any thoughts on that.
That is real interesting. That one is. It has a.
Is he another one who died in Thailand? Like David Carradine died in Thailand.
We watch all of those Anthony Bourdain shows here. He seems super happy. He has talked about committing suicide. He was a drug addict.
He was working for CNN, right? He was working for CNN, right? That was his last show that he was working as for, like, a CNN travel cook or something like that, travel type thing.
Yeah, but, I mean, he just seemed content.
That's crazy.
Just generally, if anyone has any thoughts on it. Because he also, quote, came out and said a bunch of things about Hillary Clinton, and they put him on her, you know, death list or whatever shit that is, which I don't even know if that's true. You know, just Does Killary have a list of people?
Well, I think that was another endless psyop.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Let me just finish this email because it's one more person.
I'll hang up now. Thank you, guys.
Right.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Susie from Ohio. Okay, the last one is Lynn will like this, or maybe she won't. On Lynn, I mentioned this before. Lynn is one of your best hosts, but the way you drill into her about Epstein simply because you don't believe it is ridiculous. You can't constantly use the fallacious consensus argument whenever she discusses Epstein. Just because the chat or John the Beggar thinks it is fake doesn't make it fake or invalid. If we were to use that argument against you or your entire website, we would have to dismiss all of it because the majority of Americans don't believe any of it. Consensus never makes something right or wrong. Stop asking whether the group believes in Epstein. It doesn't help your disbelief nor adds to the conversation.
Well,
it apparent now that Lynn get irritated because this is all how he wrote it. That Lynn get irritated because you like to light her short little fuse. Lynn, do you have a short little fuse?
I do. But the nub of the argument between Tim and me about Epstein is he says distraction. And I say sometimes a distraction can also be misdirection. And therefore, you need to ask, why are they putting this? What do they want you looking away for? Like, don't look over there. Look over here. No, not over there. Look over here. Sometimes distraction can be misdirection. And that's always what we should be looking for. Sometimes they have to address a narrative. They can't just bottle it up or suppress it or ignore it.
Yeah.
So they throw in misdirection. That was certainly the case with the JFK event. They had misdirection all over the place. Was it the Cubans? Was it the mob? Was it the CIA? Was it LBJ? You know, misdirection.
Now they have social. Now they have social media put like Candace Owens and Tim Pool into just throw wild stuff out there, and then
they throw everything out there.
And do you really believe the numbers or not?
No, no way. No way. I can't stand listening to Tim Pool for more than a couple minutes. I can't stand listening to Alex Jones. I can't believe anybody. I don't believe any of the numbers around Alex Jones. I really don't.
No, I agree. I can't believe our numbers are so low.
We don't know, do we?
Our
numbers are too low. We got 67 people listening on DLive, YouTube. And we have how many people on X? Tonight we have 50 on X, mostly because I put the word Brown and Bondi.
Here's my shout-out. My shout-out to Anthony Albanese.
Oh, right.
The Prime Minister of Australia. If you're saying that paid actors have been deployed in many of the anti-Semitic incidents in Australia over the last couple years...
Yeah, I love that.
You need to come on our show and be interviewed because you just might be a fakeologist.
That's awesome.
And the same goes for the Australian Federal Police. It would backed up Albanese on this. And I really want to hear from our Australian correspondents, like, say, Frank and Ounce of Salt Today and others. I want to know what Australians think about this statement by Albanese. Would they all agree that the Israelis are somehow staging these anti-Semitic incidents with paid actors who have no ideological involvement in any, no ideological motive. That's one of the things he said. They're just doing it for the money. Are most Australians even paying attention to what Albanese said? And what are the implications of it? What are going to be the consequences in Australia for people acknowledging what the Prime Minister has said, that these are paid actors? Because it happens to be the same thing that we're saying.
Where was the link to that? I should put that in the show notes.
It's in the forum.
Okay, it's in the forum.
If you just do a search in the forum, it's in the Australia forum. Which is
Australia.
I love the fact we have a separate forum for.
I know, it's crazy. Why does
so many of our I think there are more Australians that listen to us.
Yes.
About anybody, and you know, and on the and you know the audio chats and all, there are always Australians participating in that.
Yes. Here,
if you go to our forum, I'll share
it. And where is it, under Bondi Mall Stabbing Rampage? No.
Let's see. Screen share.
Must be. Must
yeah,
be.
Yeah, Bondi Mall Stabbing. Right okay. here. That's great.
Lynn's got the, yeah. That, why is there no blood on the bandage? What kind of bandage is that? Doesn't it's soak
really,
up blood?
It's really dumb. Like, they would have washed all that blood off. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is really, who the hell, you know, I'm telling you guys, people have got to be seeing through this.
Isn't it for dramatic effect? Because isn't that what Phil talks about with those World War II pictures of Time magazine with like London bombings, like they put things in the forefront and everything to make you think that it's happening, and then he shows the pictures of the
this guy here, Ostrowski, there wasn't a bomb there or anything. Why is, I don't, you know, what is his face supposed to represent? Bullet wounds?
Exactly.
What?
Yeah. Where does all the blood come from? Is that just the splatter off all the people that got hit?
I mean, if you get shot, if you get shot.
And here's a good question
about that. It's a lot of splatter.
And here's a good question about that shooting. When the guy took the gun from him, and then apparently there was another person who was running after the shooter and threw a rock at him or something, apparently that guy who threw the rock got killed. How, I mean, it doesn't make any, like, nothing makes sense.
None of it makes sense, of course. But then here's my argument. They're lowering the bar. They're lowering the threshold. It's an IQ test.
That's the only argument. That's
right.
The
they want to see how many people can we keep hanging on to this before we have to drop it completely and it disappears. Because at some point, they're going to have to make this story go away. But that's another question I have about Australia. They may be able to make this story go away in the United States, in Europe, in the UK, or people may just dismiss it as another Mossad psyop. But what about Australians? They gave up their guns after Port Arthur. Are they now going to take a second look at Port Arthur and realize that there was a total fake Europe?
Lies wasn't going to lead this delegation. Probably isn't going at all.
Let's hear what
I approve. Our international travel, Penny Wong, will lead the delegation, accompanied by Mark Dreyfus. The reports were wrong. The person leading the delegation to Auschwitz is our foreign minister, Penny Wong.
So I don't know.
He
what
had
no. So I was just looking to see if he had anything to say about.
This is the backdrop to Netanyahu saying that the reason why this Bondi Beach
and un-Australian behavior.
Yeah.
Was because Australia has recognized a Palestinian state in the, like, along and with everybody else.
You know? Everyone else did. Is that in England too? All the Five Eyes probably did.
And that's the man, the Israelis are really into overkill. They cut the ground out from underneath them when they do this. They'd be better to keep their mouths shut and say nothing or just issue a quiet statement.
Yeah.
But they can't resist it. They can't resist piling on.
Well, what do you think, Lynn, about that statement that he said? I think it was like in 2016. He said, you know, the five, like Netanyahu was like, you know, the Five Eyes. And he said, we're the second eye of that.
Oh, he said that?
Oh, so who's the first eye? Who's the first eye?
It's crazy. Like, but thank you. Your show is awesome.
Israel is the rear eye.
The synagogue of Satan.
He's the back eye.
We're the synagogue of Satan. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
All right, Jay. I hope we gave enough respect to you tonight.
Thank you. Thank you again. You have a good night.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Jay. I appreciate it. Jay's a big fan. He should have his own show. No disrespect whatsoever. How's that disrespect? I don't understand. But sometimes I do like to get the callers moving quickly. So, because we do have a lot of callers. Some days, the callers today, very interesting show. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I really appreciate the PSYOP operators for giving us one for the road, one for Christmas. Something to talk about with the fam. But too bad Tim Osmond's off. I guess I'll keep harping on Tim Osmond because it is kind of funny that he took off thinking that was it for the year. But anyway, we like Tim Osmond a lot. He'll be back in the new year. I guess I booked him for the first week of January. Lynn, any closing comments before we wrap it up?
Well, I want to, like I say, if the Prime Minister of Australia is saying paid actors have been staging these events in Australia, why doesn't he tell us whether anybody is really being killed or not?
Well, yeah. If they're staged actors, no one dies. No one gets hurt.
That's the implication. That's got to be the obvious implication. The same goes for the Australian Federal Police, who are backing up Albanese on this. Well, if you guys are saying paid actors who have no ideological motives and are involved in this, well, then you're telling us no one's really being killed. Isn't that what you're telling us? Isn't that the logical implication?
Is this crime sinister of Australia going to introduce fakeology to the Five Eyes nations? Is he the first? It's fantastic.
He sounds like, tell you the truth, he sounds like a moron to me.
Elmer Fudd. Elmer, yeah. Little Elmer Fudd a bit with the soft R's. Yeah. All right, Lynn, good show tonight. Everyone was on fire. Everything was firing up tonight. Very well done, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow, I guess. Fake Nukes Phil will be on with Jim Rizzoli. Jim Rizzoli wants to confront Fake Nukes Phil, but
I want Phil to address this challenge that the picture of that Arson Ostrowski guy getting made up right there at the scene, that's CGI or AI generated. I'd like Phil to address that in particular.
All right. I have to look into that, but sounds interesting. But it looks like a movie set, but hey, there's a lot of special effects going on.
It doesn't really matter to us whether something is generated artificially by CGI,
not really,
or staged like a Hollywood movie with real actors, or a combination of the two. Most of the time, it's probably a combination.
I agree with that. Yeah, they're using everything, anything and everything. Yeah. Why wouldn't they?
That's the IQ test to see what they can get away with.
Yeah.
A hybrid, you know.
Exactly. All right, everyone. Thanks a lot for showing up tonight. What did I do?
Have a good night.
Oh, there goes Derek. Derek, yeah, I forgot you were there. Thanks, Derek.
That's okay. Hey, no problem.
Thanks for the Brown update. I think the Brown update, we can put that one to bed. It seems like it's done, but you'll give us the updates tomorrow if you want to come on.
If there will be any, absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Lynn. Thanks, everyone. And I'm out. We'll talk to you tomorrow.